talking about something that affects so many people, but that nobody wants to talk about: pornography. Speaking to individuals trying to stop looking at porn and to spouses looking for support.
This is Danny and Lindsay Pullman, a married couple who have been through this together. We're sharing a mix of our personal experiences, our experience as certified life coaches, and other empowering ideas.
We hope this can help you on your journey.
Enjoy!
Hey everybody, this is Danny.
And Lindsay.
Today we're doing an episode on what it means to have a manual for your spouse or anyone in your life, and how it's something that a lot of us very naturally do, and we learn how to do it from people around us, and we're gonna kind of talk about what it's like for us going through this, kind of recognizing it, and then what helped us.
Right. And I'm going to tell you guys, I'm going to preface you with this little flashback into my life when I learned about this idea, so that you stick with me, even if you're kind of like, what does she really know what she's talking about? Like, the first time I learned about this idea, I actually still remember where I was driving. I was driving home from work and I was listening to my life coach teach about this. And I literally remember being like, okay, but she can't be married. Like, this person isn't married. Like, she doesn't get what it's like to be married, right? And, you know, she talked more and more about the idea of, like, how we have manuals and expectations in marriage and in families. And I was just like, okay, but she doesn't have kids. Like, she just doesn't get it. And the more I learned about it, like, everything she taught, it was, like, it sounded really eloquent and beautiful. But it seems like she wasn't quite in with reality, but she was believable enough that I was like, okay, but if there's any truth to what she's saying, like, I have to know more.
She is married and does have kids, right?
Yes. She's happily married and does have kids. So anyway, but I learned about this idea of the manual, I would say maybe about 4 years ago. No, maybe 3 years ago. And basically what...
Should have been sooner, Linz. Just kidding. Little manual joke there.
Yes. Anyway. Sorry. Okay. Yes, I learned about it like 3 years ago. And basically kind of what a manual is this instruction guide we have for someone in our lives that we, you know, sometimes they're thick, sometimes they're thin, for all the ways that someone needs to behave to make us happy or to make us feel good or connected or loved or whatever it is that we're wanting to feel. Usually we have this instruction guide. We have this set of rules and guidelines, and we haven't even like shown it to that person. But then when they don't behave in the way of the invisible instruction guide that is in our heads, we get like super annoyed and upset.
Well said.
So I like that visual because it's like, oh, yeah, like I want them to behave this way. I've never even handed them their booklet. And I'm still getting mad about it. So you can kind of see like there's two things going on. Like we're expecting someone to like manage our emotions and manage how we feel. But also usually we don't even like express anything either. And so, you know, what if we could get to this place where we realize that we're in charge of ourselves and we get to choose how to feel, you know, regardless of all the external circumstances going on in the world. So there's so much uncertainty in the world, but there's a lot of certainty in us knowing that we get to be in charge of ourselves. So
what did this look like for you in our marriage a few years ago?
So, yeah, I would say...
Where were you toward the beginning of learning about this?
And oh, yeah.
Where have you come?
That's easy for me to get to. Because I always thought I would be in a marriage where my husband was completely forthright, honest, trustworthy by my definition, and never looked at pornography because he swore up and down that he wouldn't. And so that's the thing too, is like, I think with a manual, it's like, well, he told me he would never do it. And so it's okay for me to have this manual because he made this promise. But that being said, there's still a manual there. Right. And so I think that's why I was really annoyed, because I was like, he doesn't want to, the church says not to, he told me he wouldn't. So yeah, I'm going to expect that he doesn't. Right. And so I was just really annoyed that he wasn't, quote unquote, behaving the way that I thought.
So you feel pretty justified.
Very justified. And I will tell you guys, sorry, I'm going to clear my throat real quick. I will tell you guys, when I learned about this idea of the manual And maybe for you too, it might work a little bit better if you think about your relationships outside of your marriage, because it's a lot easier, at least for me personally, it was a lot easier to drop my manuals of other people before the one of my husband. So I call the marriage manual like the golden manual, and there's so many reasons we want to just like hold on to it, okay? So maybe if it helps you, you know, think of someone, you know, just like a friend down the street where you might think, you know, maybe you're keeping score on how many times you watch their kids and they watch yours, and you kind of think, well, gosh, like, why am I watching her kids more? You know, think about those things, and it might be easier to kind of see those manuals and drop them. But for some reason in marriage, it's like there's this golden manual and we just want to like hang on to it. It's like this prickly cactus we don't want to let go of, and we like squeeze it in tighter, but it hurts us more and more the tighter we squeeze. So yeah. Is there anything else you want me to say about that?
No, I would say like I was right there with you in terms of
your manual for yourself.
Yeah, thinking that like I shouldn't be doing these things, and if I wasn't, then we would all be happier. and it was not just in the arena of pornography, but like we kind of did this dance in other ways too, where I was so thick into a pattern of just sort of blaming myself for the world, basing things on how I was behaving or not behaving, mm-hmm. My happiness, your happiness, our family's happiness. And then you would also play into that too with some of the patterns you had. And this isn't how we did it all the time. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that Lindsay is just blaming me all the time for everything. That's not at all what I'm saying. But we did have a pattern like this where sometimes you would blame me for your emotions, and then a lot of times I would just be buying right into that and blaming myself too. And it put both of us in a kind of a powerless position, I think.
Yeah. And I think the fascinating thing too is like when we were dating, I didn't really like think I had this crazy manual for him, but it's almost like I think he always expected so much of himself. Like he set his own bar so freaking high, and it stayed so high for so long that like that was just what I got used to, and it almost became my normal, and it almost became what I kind of expected. And so I don't know what, I've got to clear my throat again. So then when he kind of stopped, you know, like almost like what's the like producing at that level per se, you know, like taking out the trash or whatever it is, I remember just being like, oh, like what's going on, like this like why doesn't he do these things anymore, you know? So it's kind of interesting because it's like I never like expected perfection in a spouse, but I think he wanted that so much for himself, and he demanded that in himself that he actually was able to like behave in that way and sustain it for a really, really long time. And because that was what was going on, I kind of got used to that. And then when it started changing, that's when I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. Like you promised this. You promised I'd never have to work again. Like you promised all these things. What's going on?
Yeah. And I got used to it too. And and it's not that I haven't ever had a manual for Lindsay in certain ways. Like something that I do get upset about is when people move my stuff and they don't ask me about it or tell me where they moved it, and then I go find it moved, and it's like one of my things. Sometimes I'm able to laugh at myself, and then other times not so much. So I do have my things too with this. But in terms of my biggest struggle with the manual, I think it really has been having one for myself where if I did not behave in a certain way, then I would not feel good about myself or love myself or see myself as worthy and it did get to the point where I took it to such an extreme level that I couldn't live up to all these expectations I had for myself, and then I did start kind of disengaging. I did in a big way, bigger than I ever had before. Mm-hmm. And I needed to do that. But at the same time, like my thinking patterns leading into that are part of what contributed to it. So it is not the most helpful way, I've realized, for me to love myself conditionally instead of unconditionally. And Emmanuel, I think, has a lot to do with that too, with unconditional love. I think they're connected, right?
Well, yeah, I think so. And I think a lot of times it usually comes back to ourselves. So even though we have a manual for someone else and how we want them to behave, it ends up coming back to us feeling seen or loved or unloved or abandoned or lonely or not lonely. But remember, those are all emotions that we are thinking based on a circumstance that happens. So like, like you might think nothing of your husband, like not taking out the trash, right? Like that happens everywhere, all over the world. But there might be a subset of women who think, well, obviously he doesn't care about me because he didn't take out the trash and he didn't read my mind and just know I want to be, you know, blah, blah, blah. And like, I definitely went there sometimes, like, why doesn't he just know to take out the trash, you know? But, and you know, that might come off as like a little bit of frustration, but if you dig deeper, it's more about me feeling loved and supported and thinking that he was in charge of creating that for me.
Right, right. Another thing that I would do is, sometimes I would want Lindsay to be able to like support me or help me feel better in certain situations if I was feeling really anxious or depressed or in certain times. And, and something that is funny about this is, and she, I mean, she's always been so wonderful and loving to me, and
I totally have. I'm so amazing.
You have, and
I know.
And we've learned how to do it better and better. And but like, she's supported me in so many ways, and so sometimes she could show up even just as I kind of wanted her to help me feel better when I was feeling really anxious in that moment, and like, you know, whether it was like holding my hand or just being there listening or kind of reassuring me, telling me that it's gonna be okay or that I'm okay or that even just trying to help me see the good in me. And the funny thing is, even if she did show up and do all those things, like, I still wouldn't believe her if she said, no, but look at all these things you really do for the family. You are amazing in this way and that. And even if she was there doing that the way that I kind of wanted her to, like, I still wouldn't even believe it. And
yeah, like,
wouldn't support myself. And it was just, it's just another example of how, like, no matter how much we think other people can make us feel a certain way, like, they can't. They really can't. And it's hard enough to learn to manage your own emotional well-being in your own life, that to like expect someone else to do that on top of their own is asking too much, I think, in a lot of ways.
Well, and I think like it's so like, as humans, we want to just like fix it, Felix, the universe, right? And it can be so like, I remember just being so like, just being so confused, like, no, like, look at you, like, you're amazing. Like, you know, I could tell him like all day till the sun, like while the sun rose and the sun went down, how amazing he was. But until he chose to believe it for himself, it didn't even matter. And so the reason I want to share this with you is like, you guys probably have those relationships. Like, you could tell your, you know, your little sister or your cousin or your neighbor how amazing they are, but you cannot make them accept themselves as a human until they choose to. And as much as you might not want to hear that, in some ways it can be kind of liberating and freeing, because then it's like, well, okay, so what can I do? And it doesn't mean you stop telling people how awesome they are, but like, how can I truly support someone through this, right? And it might be, instead of, you know, telling them up and down how amazing they are, it might be just sitting next to them as a human, breathing and watching a show and not saying a word. And so, you know, as much as we want to think we can fix everybody and fix their emotions and help people feel loved, when it really does click, it is kind of liberating, and the perspective shift is really eye-opening in a good way, because I think it really helps us to show up for humans the way they want us to show up for them, the way they need us to.
Yeah.
Which is, yeah.
I've had a coach say, like, about something that was going on, like even if she could tell that I was struggling, she was like, even if I told you did a good job right there, you wouldn't believe me, right? So what are you telling yourself? And I thought that was actually a really useful way to show up for me in that moment. Like, whoa, interesting, she's right. And it helped me notice, like, what am I telling myself? No wonder I feel so crappy or whatever it is. Okay, so what helped through this? Did we already talk about that?
Yeah, I think help. What really helps is, like, and, you know, again, this might be taking it too far for this episode, but dropping my expectations of my husband helped the most. And it took me some time to get there. Like, I hung on to my golden marriage manual for a really long time. And so, you know, if you're in the thick of things, maybe with your spouse, and you're just like, that is completely unbelievable, and your brain is shutting down that idea, then just think about other relationships where it is easier to just, like, love people for existing, and where you can drop your manual if you have one for them. Because ultimately, the thing with the manual is, like, how is it serving you to have these expectations of them? Like, they're going on about their day. They're probably not even thinking about you or anything you're doing. And they're, like, doing their thing, and you're fuming or frustrated or annoyed. And so, you know, what I learned is, like, just kind of dropping expectations. It, you know, whether they followed through or didn't follow through on something that I would ask, it just helped me as a person to not be as annoyed.
Yeah, and it doesn't necessarily mean dropping all expectations altogether, as much as dropping the idea that if they don't follow through on that expectation, that you will automatically feel X or Y.
Exactly.
Right?
This leads right into, like, boundaries too, because a lot of people are like, well, if I don't have a manual, then I'm going to be a doormat and I'm going to get walked all over. And that's absolutely not the case, right? Because there aren't only two ways of thinking here. There are actually, like, a million ways of thinking about this.
And you, if they don't follow through on something, like if I didn't, you might still have wanted to be upset at certain times too, right?
You still might
sometimes. But there's a difference between that and knowing that you get to choose that you're upset in that situation, and feeling powerless, and that you're just... You have to somehow be upset just because I'm tied to my actions, right?
Yeah. And again, the one thing where I have learned that it is a little bit different, manuals are, it's like setting expectations, it's different for employer-employee relationships and with children. So you can kind of cut that out of the equation if that's something that you're thinking about right now. That's a different thing that we can teach you later if you have questions about.
Yeah, a little different dynamic there.
Yeah.
For me, what helps a lot is just, like anything like this, is first of all, just starting to notice when I'm doing it.
Mm-hmm.
That's a huge thing. Like once you start being aware that this is a thing, and that, hey, I am giving my power away in this situation in a way that's not really serving me best, and maybe not even serving my relationship with this person best, right?
Mm-hmm.
First recognizing that it is a thing, and then understanding how that works, and then you're able to start noticing it when you do it. And I still am working on this with myself. It's an ongoing thing for me in terms of how I judge myself and love myself conditionally. But I'm having breakthroughs on it every week, a few times a week, these days, because I'm really working on it, and that's a big thing for me. It's just noticing when am I, like, judging myself.
Yeah.
So when we go into the thank you next part of this podcast, and we look back at how do we thank ourselves for how we went through this at the time, and then we can move on to what's next, right? Like, when I look back at mine, how I went through this, I start seeing, like, okay, like, so first of all, a lot of guys, they turn to porn to avoid painful emotions, right? And I was definitely doing that a lot of the time, and because I didn't know how to manage the emotions, and then when I started removing porn as an option more firmly in my life, coming up with strategies to do that more, I started realizing even more just how much I judge myself and treat myself like crap. My self-talk is very negative a lot of the time. And so when I look back, it's like, first of all, no wonder I was feeling so crappy with all this judgment going on kind of in the background automatically without me even being fully aware. And then number two, it's like, no wonder I wanted to go look at porn to get away from that, because that is a terrible way to feel. And I was doing it to myself all the time. Just noticing it when you do it. And then removing the way that I have removed porn from my life. It doesn't always just feel amazing when you remove something like that that you use to escape emotions with. A lot of times it actually feels worse for a little while because it brings up those things you weren't wanting to feel, and it can be really uncomfortable. I'm so grateful for the way that I did stick to learning how to remove that from my life, because I really am at a point now where I feel better about myself and about my life than I ever have before. And I'm learning to enjoy the true reality of my life without porn more than I ever have before.
I love that. No, I think the thing just to keep in mind is a lot of times when we look inward and learn about and become more aware of the manual that we have for ourselves, that's where we kind of like start seeing how it serves us, you know, as a mother, you know, the manual we have for ourselves as mothers, like, am I doing enough for my kids? Am I playing with them enough? Am I not playing with them enough? Like all the things, all the different manuals we have for ourselves, like how does it really help us, you know?
So if you look back at how you went through all this with the thank you next mentality, how does that look for you?
I'm grateful for everything that I learned through the process, and I know I wouldn't be where I am today without things unfolding exactly the way they did in the order that they did. So even though there was a lot of pain there and I hung on to my golden manual for a really, really long time, maybe that's exactly what I needed to do. And maybe I didn't have the skill set to just drop my golden manual right away, and that's totally okay. So I was able to like work and develop a lot of other skill sets and coaching tools. And then when I was ready, I did. And guess what? It's not the only way. You don't have to drop your manuals. We just like to teach you about these things that exist in the world, and you get to become aware of it and decide if it works for you to keep it or not. So good.
So good. Anything else you wanted to add?
No. If you have questions, you can always email us, and we'll put on our episodes, we'll put like a type form link for you guys to ask us anything too. And we'll try to address those in either in later podcasts or in our Ask Us Anything lives that we do.
Perfect. Sounds good. Thanks so much for listening, everybody.
Hey, take care, guys.
Thanks for listening.
If you are ready to get unstuck, move forward, or just feel better about your life and marriage, please reach out to us, whether it's for both of you or just yourself. You'd be surprised how much progress can be made in your marriage even if one of you works on the relationship. Don't wait for someone else to make things better for you.
For more information or to find out what it would be like to have a coach, visit our websites, lindsaypullman.com and dannypullman.com. Make sure you spell Pullman, P-O-E-L-M-A-N. For freebies or other guides mentioned, check out the show notes.
And to our current clients, we love you, and thank you for letting us be a part of your hero's journey.